As we begin, I want to pray for one of our folks. Kay and Buff are not here today. You know them. They sit right here. Well, she's cracked her hip pretty good, and they're going to have to go replace that on the 21st, so she can't walk. And we've talked yesterday, and she's not able to be here. And they like being here, and we like them here. But we want to pray for her. She said she'd be watching this morning. We want to make sure she was on the right website, and this was live. But I want her to, pardon? It's not going out? Okay. Well, she's going to be on you. She's going to be mad at you. But she'll hear this somewhere in there. Anyway, but I want her to know we prayed for her, and I told her we would. And Father, we ask you to just take Kay, and they've told her that bone's kind of messed up, and they're going to have to trim it, and she's concerned that one leg may be a little shorter than the other. But God, I'm just asking you that, you know, I know what they say, and they this, and they that, but you know what to do. And we just lift her up in your hands, in your loving arms, and ask you to heal her. Ask you to make her totally, totally well and blessed with your healing grace and mercy, and back on her feet faster than anybody ever thought. Work the impossible. Do what you do, God, work miracles. And I ask you to do that for anyone else here, or anyone that someone's in their family or we know or friends with, or that just need prayer this morning, for husbands and wives and children and moms and dads and kinfolks and co-workers and friends and family, whatever it is, we lift them up to you and ask you to heal their hearts and heal their bodies. We ask you to forgive us of all of our sins, and God, renew a right spirit within us and make all well, and give us that peace that passes all understanding in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we need to wait till after the service maybe on this. Do we have the young'un? I think we're missing our subject for today. Because we have a child dedication to do. But we can do it right after the service too. So let me go ahead and get into this, unless Mario changes the scene. Pardon? I'll set it right here. And we'll see what we're going to do. Sometimes the subject of our attention just doesn't arrive. So we just move on and do what we need to do. We're just not going to get all upset over it and move on. I think the subject is here. Okay. Would you help me, and I'll let you help present this with me, if you don't mind, and I'll do the... Here we go. Come there. Bring that little cutie here.
Than me.
Oh my goodness, yes. And am I saying this right, Daniela? I know, I hope I don't, you know, but look at this little sweetie. Yeah. Hi. How are you? She's saying, oh God, where did he come from? You can find it in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this story told where they brought the children to Jesus, and the disciples didn't get it, and they rebuked them. Said, get these kids away from him. They're bothering him, taking up his time. And Jesus said, it was having nothing to do with that. And he said, no, 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 no. He said, unless you become innocent, seeking knowledge, wanting me, you got to be totally dependent on me. He said, unless you become as one of these little children, that's what he meant, totally dependent on me for your everything in your life, you'll not enter the kingdom of heaven. But then he laid his hands on the children and he blessed them. And so that's what we're doing. And I am giving, asking the blessing of God through me as his vessel, and it's from the Lord, not me. But Father, we ask you to bless this child, that this child, Daniela, would come to know you, that you would live in her heart, that she would ask Jesus in her heart at that right time when it comes in her life. We just dedicate her to you and pray your protection, your holy guardian angels over and around her and her whole family every moment of every day and night. And God, that this child would become a servant of the living God, a faithful, obedient Christian, born-again believer in Jesus Christ at that time. She's aware to do that. And until then, your protection, your love, your grace, your blessings, your health, we pray upon her in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And everybody here, yeah, we all are supporting you in this. And we have this gift for you, and that'll be the first Bible.
For the Full Life Family, Fellowship family, we want to give her a Bible so that as she grows in God's Word with you also.
Yeah, she's there. You go. All right. Yes, sir. We're glad to do that. Isn't that beautiful? All right. Yes. Yeah. Now I've been asked about things like this, and it's like, Tony, do you baptize children? No, I don't. But I do believe in dedicating them to the Lord. God will lead her and all these children, just like all of us, when we become of that age of accountability to become aware of our sins and ask Jesus in her heart. That'll happen. But we can sure dedicate them to the Lord. Now, last week, if you weren't here, I want to give, this has got to be one of the quickest reviews I've ever given, because it's necessary to go into the few points I have time for today. We came out of Jude, and I'll read this real quick. He was talking about those last times, the scoffers. Read Jude. If you didn't go read Jude, please read it this week. He talks about the scoffers. They'll follow their own ungodly desires. These are people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts, do not have the Spirit. Boy, do we see that everywhere. And so this was written to say, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith, pray in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. And he said, be merciful to those who doubt, snatch others from the fire and save them, and to others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. This is when you get down to it, you say, whoa, really? Seriously? You hear what he's saying? He said, I want you to be merciful to doubters, but others, you're just going to have to go grab them and jerk them out. You know? In other words, he's saying, you got to give some of them a good shaking and say, wake up. And know you're headed for the fire of hell. Snatch them from the fire. Save them. And he said, others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. That's the part I didn't get to last week, but I want to close it all out as a two-parter. And it may be a three-parter at the time here, but we'll see. And it says, to God, who is able to keep you from falling. Does everybody hear this? And I'm going to go over this and give you the Greek words and what it really means. It says, to God, this is the NIV I'm using and today. And to God, who is able to keep you from falling and present you before his glorious presence without fault and great joy. You need to read this stuff. If you get down on yourself, if you're feeling a lot of guilt and pressure in your life, you know, you need to read this. God can keep you from this and present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. What we talked about last week was the how-to. How do you build your faith? By staying in God's Word. Stand in fellowship with Jesus. And you can go back and listen to this week's message. So I can't expound on these because I want to get to what we need to do. But we need to renew this real quick, because what we have, the last part of this message depends on the first part. And that's where people mess up. And I'll show you in a second. So we need to stay in fellowship, stay in worship, and stay in humble confession. And then he says, pray in the Holy Spirit. And that means you're going to have to listen to the Spirit's prompting. Pray as he prompts you according to God's word, God's will. Get rid of a bunch of this junk in your life. All the anger. I felt so much anger. I've had to deal with anger every day. And it's not just from driving. I don't like to see things stolen, ripped off. I don't want to see, you know, I don't want Hitlers and I don't want Stalins. I don't want any more of that. I don't want it here. And so, you know, I don't want a dictator of the United States. I don't want to be the socialist republic of the states, whatever. And so it's hard, and I've had to give, because if you don't get keep it out of your heart, you won't have love. And love is in Christ, and if you get out of fellowship, listen, if you get out of fellowship with Jesus, you get out of fellowship with Christ. If you get out of fellowship with Jesus Christ, you get out of fellowship with love. I'm just giving a review. This is just to catch you up and say, okay, so I got to build in my holy faith. I got to pray in the Holy Spirit, listen to his promptings. I got to stay in fellowship for this to happen. I've got to keep in God's love. And if I'm going to keep in God's love, what does John 15:10 say? Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. I've had people say, how do I stay in his love? Keep his word. When you don't keep his word, keep his word. What? If you don't keep God's word, keep his word. What does that mean? What does God say to do if I don't keep his word? His word says to repent of it, confess it, and I'm keeping his word and getting back in his word. Everybody with me? So if you mess up, which you will, I'm sorry to tell you that, but you will. Everybody knows it. You'll sin. But when you do, keep his word about messing up and sinning and repent of it. If you confess your sins before God, he's faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Okay? That's a little quick overview. You can listen to last week's deal. But I want us to be caught up because he says, build in your holy faith, pray in the Holy Spirit, keep in God's love. And there were some other parts to this that we need to hit real quick. He says about this mercy thing, and it's most important because right now, I don't know about you, but I'm not wanting to show a great deal. If some of these folks that are in on the bunch of stuff, and okay, if they showed up in my yard, it would be hard to show mercy. Anybody feel, we all feel that way? And he's telling me to show mercy, so I have to obey his word. And he's saying, if one of them had a wounded leg, if one of them came to your, they drove them up and said, you know, they're bleeding to death. Tony, you know, my human impulse would be to say, well, got rid of one of them. And yet Jesus Christ would say, you get in there and put your little gloves on and do what you know to do. You know how to do field dressings. You know how to take care of that stuff. And you wrap that person and you fix it. What would you do? And we know the answer. Our flesh would want one thing, but we know that Christ in us, our hope of glory, says show mercy and fix that wounded leg. We'd have to. We would have to, knowing that we're keeping alive our enemy. And I'm hoping he won't make that happen. I hope this is totally hypothetical. Don't. You know, but if it does. And so, to show mercy, listen to me. Do you know how to show mercy? You say, how do I really show mercy? I have to keep focused on Christ's mercy towards me. The truth is, there was a time in my life, like every one of us, when we were spiritually bleeding to death, and Jesus Christ came and patched up our wounds. We were his enemy. You see, before we asked Jesus in our heart, we're the enemy of the cross. And that means everybody in this room was an enemy of Christ at one time. We're an enemy of Jesus Christ until we ask him into our heart. Is that true? And so, you see, we forget our own lack of standing at one time and how we've acted. And how we've even acted after we've asked Christ into our lives. I share things with you so that you know I struggle with things just like you do. And we're all in this together. And we can pray for each other in this together. And I was hearing another traffic story before church this morning. And there's more besides me in here who get upset in traffic. And I was listening. It makes me feel better. Somebody yells at them worse than I do. And so, You know, but the point being, we're all going to mess up. We're all going to sin. We lose our temper. And this kind of stuff happens. And then God says, now I want you to show, the only way you can show mercy, son, is to remember. Don't forget. I've shown you mercy so many times you can't even remember. I've lost count of how many times he's lost. Haven't you? Shown us mercy. When we didn't deserve it. Has he pulled you out of the fire how many times? You got in debt, you got in trouble, you messed up, or you crossed the moral line or the ethical line or whatever. And boy, it looked like it was all over. And as the old expression used to be, it used to go, you know, it looked like it's all over but the crying. And what? Here came God and he pulled you out. And it was rough and it was a struggle. And you know, but he pulled us out. That's why we're here. And he's saying, see, I want you to let me in your life to that point. And that's why this being in fellowship, that's why, you know, trusting God, that's why when these first things, build your holy faith, praying the Holy Spirit, keeping God's love is so important, because if I don't, I can't show mercy. To show mercy, I keep focused on God's mercy, that he's given me his mercy in Christ. And now he's talking about, show mercy, be merciful to those who doubt. Well, what about snatching others from the fire? We haven't talked about this a lot, and it's been a while since I brought a message on this. But we talk about the tender love and the warm, fuzzy love. But there's another aspect of God's love, and that's tough love. And sometimes you have to confront people when they're hitting into the fire. And he's saying, he wants you to be merciful to those who doubt, but others are headed for the fire. What they're doing is going to take them into hell. They're really going to get it with this. And he says, I want you to have love tough enough to stand in there and jerk them out. I mean, literally get them. That's what he's saying. He says, snatch others from the fire and save them. That means sometimes you just got to walk in there in the middle of it and drag them out. And you have to be discerning. That's why you've got to have the faith and praying in the Spirit, because you sure don't want to do it out of the Spirit, and being in God's love. But there's times, he says, you've got to go in there with mercy and snatch them from the fire and save them. And he says, to others, show mercy mixed with fear. That one's bothered me until I got to really, I just thought, I got to study this out. And he says, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. And then that mercy with fear, it means mercy without contamination. And what he's saying is this, in this passage, and you study this out, and he's saying, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothes, the garments stained with the flesh. What does that mean? He's saying, when if you ever go in to snatch somebody out of the fire, be sure that that fire doesn't catch your own britches. Many people trying to help somebody else has fallen into the same sin. And he said, if you're going to go rescue someone, be prayed up in the Spirit, in faith, in God's love, so that you don't get contaminated with what you see and hear. Is everybody with me? You listen to people's stories very much in life and what's going to happen to you. That can start working on you. Especially if they describe any intense physical, sexual situations and stuff, you have to be very cautious and discerning, because it can work on this head. And that's what he's saying. And he said, you have to go in there and be very prayed up in faith. And that's why the points of that last week's message ties in and with the next few points we have. He said, if you're going to show mercy, you're going to have to do it with faith. And remembering the mercy God shows you, but don't get yourself contaminated with whatever it is you're going in there with. I've known people said, I went in the bar and I was trying to coax them out of there, but they asked me to have a drink, and I had one with them, and it's like, that's where you cross the line. You cannot compromise. You see what I'm saying? If you're going in there to save someone, then save someone. Don't get in there and say, well, I was trying to make it easier. I've heard these kind of stories, and you have too. And I'm trying to make it easier, and so I want them relaxed, so I sit there with them. You've totally then messed up the whole rescue procedure. If I'm going on a rescue and I have to rappel down a cliff and get somebody off of a ledge down there 100 feet below me, I'm not going to take the time to have a sandwich with them. You with me? I'm going to strap on and tie a bowline, and I'm going to hook them to my D-rings, and I'm going to bring their little bottom up to the top, and then we'll have a sandwich. Okay, everybody good? You know, hear what I'm saying? So if you're going to help others, for crying out loud, don't start doing what they're doing to make them feel better. Misery, we know this, but misery loves company. And sin loves a crowd. And so don't get contaminated. Listen to this. And he says this, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. You know what he's saying? He means with that passage. It means you don't make any exceptions. Listen, you know what? So one of the things, and I feel like I'm afraid, I feel like maybe this is one of the reasons that evil has gotten away with so much so far. Too many Christians have compromised. Let me say it this way. There are certain things that we're being told and have been for some time by our society that we must accept, that we must tolerate. One is sexual preference. Okay? I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. If you go outside the man and woman choices, God says it's an abomination and he's never changed his mind. Too many Christians have said, No, I'm telling you right now, if you're going to walk the line, walk the line. If you're going to be God's people, be God's people. Do not judge another person, but you don't go and compromise to make them feel better. Because when you do, you're hurting him. God has not changed his mind to fit social fabric or customs. And God will not change it. And I'm not harping on one thing. There's a lot of things in our society, the way we raise children, the way we do this. You're not supposed to. Don't touch a child. Don't ever spank their bottom. I'm going to tell you what's wrong in society right now is parents have not disciplined their children. This crud that, you'll hurt their little psyche. Buddy, you better hurt it now, because if you don't, they'll hurt yours later. And I'm telling you, God said that in his word. You spare the rod, you spoil the child. You're saying beat children. Nope. I'm saying when words don't work, I know what will. Rolled up newspaper does a fine job. Now, and I know, this goes out and people, I don't give a rip, you know. You finally reach an age where you got to tell the truth. Do I care if somebody cusses me out? Yeah, I don't want to be cussed out. But so what? Friends, listen. I truly believe one of the reasons that evil has gotten away with what it's getting away with is too many Christians have played around out here and got their clothing contaminated, and we need to confess it and repent of it and get it out of our system. And if somebody that chooses a different sexual thing than what God says, you don't go judge them. But I'm not going to tell them it's okay either. I'll tell you what I will. I'm supposed to tell them. God loves you and I love you, but I do not love what you're doing. And if he asked me to be the one to perform a ceremony, the answer is no, absolutely no. Not now, not ever. Okay? I'm not going to do it. Because if I do it, I'm compromising. So enough said. And that's on a lot of other things too, that we're accepting in our society, and it's not right. And so what he's saying is, there it is. He just lays it out, and I'm not here doing it. I'm not trying to do a hellfire brimstone thing. But this is some hellfire brimstone in this. And he said, you got to snatch people from the fire. You got to get serious about it. You got to show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. And what he's saying is don't get yourself burned at the same time. Quit compromising with the world. And I'm going to tell you something. If it goes like it could, looks like it's going, there's going to be a lot of stuff thrown at us. And I suspect there'll be a lot of restrictions put on me up here. They're going to try to. Because they already said they're going to try to restrict religious freedom. Okay? They're going to try to tell me what I can say and can't say. I'll probably end up having to go to jail. So what? You say you want to go to jail? I've never been in jail in my life. I don't want to go there. But am I going to stop telling the truth? No, I'm not. So we already know that's a done deal. So, you pray for me, because this sure could come to that, and I don't want it to, but it sure could. And I don't want you to have to tell people your pastor's a jailbird, but, you know, okay. But I do want you to be able to say, Pastor really stood up. He didn't just go up there and blow his mouth off. He stood up for what he believed. And that's what I've got to do, and pray that I have the guts to do it when the time comes. Please. It's one thing for a bunch of guys like me to get up here and throw a bunch of crud at you. And I think that's been going on way too much in America too. Too many pastors, television guys and all that throw out all this feel-good fuzzy stuff. But when the time comes and we need them, where are they? They don't have the courage to stand up and do anything for us. They don't. They won't back up what they say. And I've got to have what it takes to do it. So let's wrap this up here. And so knowing this, now remember these points. I want to hit them one more time. The last week's message was keeping your heart in Christ, and then it was building your holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping in God's love, showing mercy, helping others, and hating sin. Okay? You say, why are you hitting that last week? Because this what I'm about to tell you for this week won't happen unless you have got those points in mind. You're going to have to be, you see, and the title this week is Trust Your God. And it comes, this is the next part of what Jude wrote. We're just moving right on down to verse 24. It says, to God who is able to keep you from falling. I read that a while ago. And present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. This is important stuff. First of all, I've heard this preached. I've even done it myself. And then God kind of gets on my case saying, you didn't preach the whole message. It's really nice. Doesn't it sound good? Now to God who's able to keep you from falling. We all want to hear that. God can't keep me from falling if I don't have faith in God to keep me from falling in the first place. That's why the first part of this message from last week, this is tied together. It's saying, I have got to build myself up in my most holy faith. God will keep me from falling. And by the way, that word in the Greek is not falling. The word in the Greek literally means continual stumbling. So if you're taking notes and you want to know what it accurately means, God is able to keep me from stumbling all the time and present me before his glorious presence. What does that mean? Every person will stumble. We all know this. You're going to trip. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You're going to get right out of here on I-10 and probably stumble right after this message if you're not careful. Whatever it is. Don't turn on the news or you'll certainly stumble. That's different from stumbling. And what he's saying is God will keep you to the very end, but you got to let him. You're going to have some faith in him. He set a mustard seed of faith will move mountains for you. You're going to have at least that. And you're going to have his love. You're going to have that fellowship with him. See, that's why you're going to have to pray in the Holy Spirit. And when you do that, you give God your body. You're giving him your life. You're in fellowship with him. So God then can keep you from stumbling because you're not out of fellowship. And I hear many Christians say, why didn't God keep me from this? Why didn't that? Why didn't he? Because you've got to have faith. You've got to listen to him first. How many people have gotten involved in relationships and say, why didn't God just stop it? Because you weren't listening to God. What do you want him to do? Kill you? Everybody in this room knows that, you know, there's been times in their lives, you look in your past, and you meet someone, whatever, and you're so wrapped up in them, God could write it on a billboard with your name on there. And yet you'd go right by. They say love is blind. How many of you think it probably is in some cases? I know lust is. Everybody knows lust is blind, right? Two or three of you were honest. The rest of you just looked at me. It's amazing how everybody just went blank. Huh? Could you spell that? What word is it? Yeah. Okay. Anyway, we all know the story. But listen to this. Our God is able to keep us from continually stumbling. And I'll put it this way. If you'll just give him a chance. If you just have some faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Do what we're supposed to be doing. Saving others with mercy and snatching them out of the fire and not compromising. God says, I'll keep you from stumbling all the time. I will intervene. I'll keep you from making a whole bunch of bad decisions. You may get away with one. I'll stop it before it gets too far. That's what he's saying. God can and will keep you to the very end. But we've got to let him. He'll keep us. Here's one of my problems. And I've had it. I've had this problem. I'm debating with God over the outcome of this whole thing. I'm striving with the Lord. Are you? I'm arguing with him. I don't like his decisions. I just don't understand. And he's saying, because you are so finite, you don't have a clue, son. You've got to trust me. Get in that word right there. Where's your faith? Did I know what I'm doing? And I guess we all have to ask ourselves, honestly, do we think God knows what he's doing? Because he's not thinking like me, sometimes I wonder. Don't we? I bet I'm not alone in that. And all of you can be saying, oh, thank you, God, you don't think like Tony does. It might be a rough deal. Well, he doesn't think like we do. And so he's saying, I want you to have faith and I'll keep you from falling. This was a great word here, but you can't read it alone. To God is able to keep you from stumbling around in your life and making all these continual bad decisions. He will not let you continue. God will rescue you. He says that. He will not let anything come upon you but what? No temptation is overtaking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. And with that temptation, he will provide the way of escape so that you can endure it. He promises that. He's not going to let anything happen to us. No matter how things turn out nationally, globally, he won't let more happen than we can endure. And he'll provide a way of escape. You are God's people. You got to trust him. Don't be afraid. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't surrender to the enemy. Don't surrender to your own fears, because God can keep you from stumbling. He will rescue you. He will not. I was just reading this passage. It says, God will not let us be defeated. You say, well, how is he going to? That's where we get in trouble. God is the God of how. I've got to just trust him to do it. How he's going to do it? What do you think they thought when they were backed up in that miraculous event? Here came the Egyptians in their chariots, and here is Israel backed up against the sea, and those people are standing there. They don't have a clue. All they see is a bad dudes coming at them. And God puts that pillar of fire in front out there. And they're all going, this is it. This is the end. Oh my God, why did we try to leave this country? They're going to destroy us because you got the ocean behind you. Listen, that's a bad tactical situation. That's one even as a second lieutenant. You learn real quick. Always have a way of escape. You don't let a water, a stream or something, a mountain, a cliff be at your back because you're caught. And that's exactly what they had. Do you know who organized that bad tactical situation? God did. Think about it. God put them there. God put them in the worst tactical situation they could have been in. Why? Because God wanted them to remember that only God could get them out. Now, we're in a bad tactical situation, and yet God, I believe, truly is saying, come back to me in faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't you stop. You stay in there and you keep snatching people from the fire and keep doing what I called you to do. And it's a bad tactical situation, but God comes back. That's when you see God shine. And what happened? Moses held up that staff and the sea parted. That's not a fairy tale. They went across on dry land. But when the enemy, the Egyptians, tried to cross, you say, we know that story. Yeah, but we need to be reminded of it. What happened? Boy, he just folded it in and drowned them. You see, that's where the devil has continually lost his battles. Right there, his wars. He thinks he's gotten something. But I'm telling you right now, if you keep that faith and you don't quit, don't give up, and you keep trusting and stay in fellowship with the Lord, and you keep praying in the Spirit and doing what you're called to do and having mercy on people and helping them, let God do what God does best. You're right up against it, and the water will part, and you're going to cross over. And guess what's going to happen to the bad guys when they think they can do the same thing? I'm going to tell you something. God says evil people will not succeed. It's an illusion for them. There is no peace for the wicked. And it's going to close in on them. And it's going to cover them up. I guarantee you. But you got to keep the faith. You're going to have to do what he says here in this word. Friends, hang on to it with all your heart. Trust God. Trust God. Look at this. Trust God. God is able to keep you from stumbling around and present you before his glorious presence without fault and great joy. Do you know what he's saying there? God is able to present you before his presence. Why? He's not looking at Tony and all of his blunders. God is looking at the blood of Jesus that cleanses me from all sin. God is looking at a man that's been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, just like he is you. That's what God sees when he looks at you. God looks at you and he's not nitpicking you. He says your sins are cast away from you as far as the east is from the west and cast into the depths of the sea. And when I look at you, I see my Holy Spirit. When I look at you, I see my temple of the living God. When I look at you, I see my chosen people. I see my born-again believers, and I'm going to take care of you. That's the word of the Lord. It is. And I'm going to provide all of your needs according to my riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He's going to take care of you, and he's going to do it with great joy. It says we're going to stand before him, and he's not going to pick me apart. If God wanted to, he could slice me to pieces. I get up here and preach, and the first person that cuts me off, and I make jokes about it, but it's the truth. There's times I'm trying harder. I'm getting better, but I'll sit there. Am I pronouncing a blessing yet? Heck no, but at least I'm not saying other things. I'm better. My steering wheel has permanent indentations, I think, in it where I grip it. I just get mad. Why is everybody out there so stupid and I'm not? You ever wonder that? Huh? Why can't they be like us? The truth is, if God wanted to, not a one of us could make it if he nitpicked us, could we? But he doesn't. Instead, he redeems us and he forgives us. And he presents us before him without fault and with great joy. Did you get that? God's happy for you. He's cheering you on. I get to condemn in myself. I laugh about some of this stuff. But truthfully, I ask God many, many times, why are you putting me up there and trying to use me? I'm not worthy. I'm just not worthy. Every pastor I know that's a pastor really called to God has told me that same thing, that, Tony, I can't get up there. I'm not worthy. And then when you read the Word of God, he's saying that's exactly why you're up there. They know you're not worthy, but they see you. You see this? They see Jesus coming through an unworthy man, and they get to see that. And they realize if God can do it through Tony, he can do it through me. Isn't that beautiful? That's why Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. But look what he did through Paul. And you get to look and see God's grace right here and living in the flesh. And you see God speak his word and touch your heart, I pray he does, and minister to you through an unworthy man, a man just made out of the flesh. I am. My righteousness is as filthy rags, and yet God's righteousness will flow through, and he'll take this word through a human servant. I'm just an under shepherd, and he'll make it powerful, and he'll touch your hearts with it. It's not me. It's the Holy Spirit of the living God
doing this. And so, wow, I got to stop. So let's wrap this with this. Because of all that, he says, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority. I didn't realize it. Sorry, folks. I really got into this. I just like this stuff so much. But look what he says. He says, because he presents us faultless before him, and he can keep us from stumbling around in our lives, we just trust him and pray in the Spirit and love and rescue people. God will do his part, and he'll do it with great joy. And he's saying, I want you to just render to me and recognize my glory, my majesty, my power, and my authority. And friends, I'm saying to you in closing, that's what we need to focus on and live our lives on, is we need to say that glory to the Lord. Glory to God in the highest. That's what we're coming into that season. Glory to God. Lord, your majesty, that word means greatness, awful transcendence. What does that mean? That God is able to go beyond human boundaries and restrictions. God is everywhere. He's omnipotent, omnipresent, all of that. He's anywhere, all the time, everywhere. God is glory to a God like that. And it says all power to God. The enemy doesn't have a power. It's elusive. He's a deceiver and a liar, but God tells the truth. God fulfills his promises. God is the God of power, dynamite power, explosive power. He parts seas. He gives manna in the wilderness. God, listen, God is going to do this and is doing it for you. Just don't quit. Don't give up. Trust him. And God has all authority in heaven and earth. And I'm telling you, God says, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, and it will. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now just have faith and believe it. I got to quit. I'm really working up a lather. And is there anything else I'm not remembering to do, Pat? Is that it? Nothing else? Okay, then let's close. I pray to the living God, the God of all power and glory and majesty and authority, the God who created the heavens and the earth and everything in them. Lord, the earth is yours and everything in it. The enemy thinks he's won something. Well, he hit a blow, but God, you'll crush his head. You've stepped on his head before. You crushed him at the cross. You crushed him at the tomb. You'll crush him again and again. God, heal our lives. God, provide for our needs. Bless us all in spirit. Bless us all in health. Bless us all in finances. Bless us all with your protection, your holy angels over, around, and under us. God, fill us to overflowing as rivers of living water with the fullness, the power of your Holy Spirit. Fill our hearts with love for you, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. God, fill our hearts with love for each other, love our neighbors, ourselves, having mercy, having faith, getting out there, living as God wants us to live. And God, we are putting our faith in you, and your will be done, because you are the God, the only God. In Jesus' name, amen.